How toxic is your workplace? What does workplace toxicity even mean? We're going to find out how it affects you and what it really is from the Society for Human Resource Management. We have with us the president and CEO for the society, Johnny C. Taylor. Good morning, Johnny. Thanks for joining us.
How are you, Bruce?
We're doing pretty good here in our workplace, but
I like that.
Yeah, let's. What does the term workplace toxicity mean? How do you describe that?
Well, it's the phrase that we've gotten. We've surveyed some. SHRM has surveyed some 8,000 people around the country in the largest 20 metropolitan markets, and said sort of describe your workplace. A term that came out of that was toxic. It shocked all of us, frankly. I mean, it's one thing to say I'm not as fulfilled. It's one thing to say I don't, you know, I'm not always engaged at work. But to describe many workplaces as toxic shocked us, and it, you know, sort of served as the impetus for us to engage in more deep research, surveying employees to understand what do they mean.
What is the cause of this then? What is it? Is of something toxic seems to be it's something that affects you not only at work but at home and in your health in a sense, your well-being. But what is causing this? What are the things that they're saying is making it toxic?
So 1 in 5 Americans, 20%, have said they quit their job due to culture in the last 5 years. And so it's poor culture, and we've been able to tie this directly to people managers, their supervisors. What we know is that people don't work for companies, they work for people. So the direct manager, supervisor, the people manager, is the person that's causing really bad culture in many organizations. And this toxicity is either coming directly from the manager, him or herself, or as a result of their failure to lead, it's being accepted in the workplace by the other employees. And it really is costing American businesses a ton of money. Our research estimates $223 billion in turnover alone because Americans feel frustrated. They don't enjoy coming to work.
Is this caused because of poor training, poor hiring? Why are these managers not doing what they're hired to do or perceived to do?
Well, I tell you, it's something that we have known intuitively for a while in the human resources space. We take someone who's a great engineer, and because they're technically very good, over time, we make them managers of other engineers. We oftentimes, one, haven't assessed whether or not they are, in fact, good people managers. And secondly, even when one has the propensity or the possibilities of being a good people manager, we've not trained them. So we're quick to teach someone to be an engineer, but we don't spend any time giving them tools and preparing them to be people managers. As a result, we throw these people into management roles, and they actually have the opposite effect. They don't lead their people. We know that a third of U.S. workers claim that their managers don't know how to lead. And as a result, you have a really, really, really bad situation. Oftentimes, it gets to the point of as toxicity.
People are have an occupation. They have, you mentioned engineers. So there's a point where they're, you know, salaries or whatever. Sometimes I think they need to move up within the company, which does require that management part of it. What can companies do then to make sure if they're putting somebody in that position, they put them in a position to succeed?
So what we have to do is, first of all, assess them. Every person is not going to be a great people manager. There are some underlying sort of personality traits and competencies that one should have to be a people manager. Once you find that group of people who actually could be people managers, then the really good companies train them. And that's why we at SHRM are preparing tools to help employers identify who are really good potential people managers and then equip them with the skills and the competencies to help them actually deliver on that when they're in the workplace.
That's how you can kind of solve maybe some of that problem. But what if you're in a toxic workplace environment? What recommendations do you have for those employees, if anything?
So the most important thing is to take advantage of your human resources function. Much to your surprise, a lot of people suffer in silence at work. They don't say anything. You assume that the HR department knows. So the first thing that we're advising people to do is if you see or experience a toxic workplace, take it to HR. If you see something and say something, then we can do something.
Where can people find out more about what's on this survey as well as maybe helping to avoid toxicity or, you know, clean out the toxicity in their workplace? Where's a good place to get some details on this?
So SHRM has launched a new site, talkworkculture.com, talkworkculture.com, and you can go on and find all sorts of tools and information and ways to improve the workplace and ultimately to provide a more fulfilled work experience for your employees.
We appreciate you joining us this morning and opening up a little bit of things that maybe we have thought about or didn't even know we were in a toxic environment, just didn't know how to express it. Johnny C. Taylor, President and CEO of the Society for Human Resource Management, SHRM, joining us this morning. Thanks for your time. I appreciate
it. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.